This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition. Presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL Radio Broadcast Partners, and Easton Hockey. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. There's a new documentary series getting rave reviews right now. It's Sportsnet's On the Edge, a season look at the Saskatoon Blades Memorial Cup hosting year. The outstanding first episode aired last week, and we'll talk to executive producer Corey Russell. Now, the Kelowna Rockets have wrapped up a red-hot month of November that has them back amongst the top teams in the league once more. Rockets forward Zach Franco will be our guest. Well, it's called On the Edge, an eight-part behind-the-scenes look at the Saskatoon Blades airing on Rogers Sportsnet. The series debuted with a bang last week. I spoke with producer Corey Russell.
Oh, I was really happy with the show. I think, you always want to start a series off strong, and I thought it was a great episode. And really, it's a tribute to the organization and the access they gave us, allowing us to tell their story.
Has to be almost a dream series to put together. If you're a fan of reality TV and sports, this is almost the perfect marriage, isn't it?
Well, it is. Like I've always said that sports gives you the best stories, no matter their reality or documentary. And being able to follow a hockey team for a whole season and a junior hockey team in this position is really a dream come true. I think it's a great opportunity.
What are the hurdles you have to overcome to produce a show and put something like this together?
Well, it's mostly logistics. The team travels. The team travels a lot. Our production company is sort of based in is here in Toronto, so we set up a company in Saskatoon. We partnered with a company in Saskatoon, so it's mostly the logistics. But after that, everything takes care of itself. Especially with a team that is so welcoming as the Blades have been, it actually makes it a lot easier.
Corey, when you're putting together this episode and the finished product, do the Saskatoon Blades sort of have that all-encompassing stop sign? Can they have veto power, or how do you put it all together?
No, absolutely. We give everybody the opportunity to comment and have a look before it goes to air, and that includes the WHL, the Blades, and of course Sportsnet. And everybody sort of had a few comments with the first episode, but nobody questioned the content and what was in it. And everyone was really happy with it. I like to tell the story that after he watched it, Lauren Malkin walked up to our director and gave him a hug and said, "That was just great. I'm really happy with that." So that's a good feeling and a good validation for the series and the episode.
It doesn't get much more real than that final scene, Corey, in the room with Connor Cox being told he was being released at that time. How difficult was that to, put together and shoot and then get the okay to have such a riveting finale to the episode?
Well, it's actually more a tribute to Connor than anything. He was someone in the office. He knew what was happening, obviously. He knew that his name was the one who was going to be called. And he walked right up to our cameraman before we entered the room and said, "Do you want to put a mic on me? Let's do it." And so we did. It was, it's really a testimony more to him and his maturity that he was open to this. And as you saw it, great scene on both sides. I thought the emotions were very high, and it's just something you just don't see in this style of show, especially at the pro level. You're not going to see John Tortorella crying in his office after he cuts a player, that's for sure.
And it really is a great script, I think, for you as a producer, because you have a team that is trying to get it all together, and it's a bumpy road, like we've seen early with the Blades, and you're documenting that, and has the potential to be a real nice script that's unscripted.
Well, absolutely. I think, obviously no one hopes for a start like that, especially the Blades, but, in terms of TV, it's a great story, but it also presents a great opportunity for these guys to turn it around and listen. We're all hoping for the Hollywood ending, I think. If the show ends with the Blaze winning the Memorial Cup, then everyone's a winner here. So I think that'd be great.
Yeah, it's been a great start. Congratulations to that, Corey. We look forward to the rest of it. Thanks a lot for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
You're listening to the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
The Western Hockey League has come down with sanctions against the Portland Winterhawks for a series of player benefit violations over the last 5 years. WHL Commissioner Ron Robison has suspended the Winterhawks from participating in the first five rounds of the 2013 WHL Bantam Draft and the forfeiture of their first-round selections in 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017. WHL has also announced the Winterhawks have been fined $200,000. Winterhawks general manager and head coach Mike Johnston has been suspended for the balance of the 2012-13 season, including the playoffs. Commissioner Robison stated WHL clubs understand they are fully required to comply and respect league regulations or they will face significant consequences. Robison added WHL clubs are required to fully disclose all commitments they make to a player in the WHL standard player agreement.
The best players in hockey's best development league. World-class coaching, top-notch facilities, passionate fans. This is the Western Hockey League. Former Kelowna Rockets defenseman, now starring with the Nashville Predators, Shea Weber.
It definitely preps you for the NHL game. They're very similar schedule styles and everything as far as on the ice and off the ice. They make sure that you're ready and prepared to play in the NHL.
Weber with a drive, he scores! Right off the faceoff! He hammered that one!
Former Saskatoon Blades defenseman, now with the Colorado Avalanche, Stephen Elliott.
I chose the Western Hockey League because it's the best junior hockey league out there, and it provides the best competition and prepares you the best for the NHL.
Elliott moves across, it shuts, goal!
How about that? After a great defensive play, he scored the go-ahead goal, Stephen Elliott.
The WHL, it's your time.
The Denny's WHL Player of the Week is Brendan Leipsic of the Portland Winterhawks. The Winnipeg native collected 9 points, scoring three times and adding six helpers in a trio of Portland victories. The third-round pick of the Nashville Predators is in his third full season in the WHL. Elsewhere, Red Deer Rebels goaltender Patrick Bartuszak has been named the WHL and CHL Goaltender of the Week. Bartuszak turned aside 108 shots last week, backstopping the Rebels to three straight wins. The Kelowna Rockets have been streaking lately, piling up 9 wins in 11 games to close out the month. Voice of the Rockets, Regan Bartel, sat down with forward Zach Franco.
Zach, tell me about your hockey club right now, playing real good hockey all in all, but especially here on home ice. How gratifying is that to know that you guys can be a dominant force right here at Prospera?
It's huge. I mean, this is probably my first time since I've been here that we've been this dominant on home ice, and I think that you know, that says something about the group and about the coaching staff that, you know, we come to work every day, and I think now we're seeing results from it, and I think that, you know, you can't give up losses at home, and if you do, they've got to earn them, and I think right now, you know, we're playing to a level that not a lot of teams can play with us, and I think that we got to keep that going.
Is it nice to come in waves? I mean, it's not the first line, not the second line, not the third line or the fourth line that are just somewhat sporadic, but you're always coming out there. Like you said, every line, just coming in waves.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's nice. I think at the beginning of the year, you know, we had one or two lines going, one line one night, the next the other night, but I think now we've got all four lines going, and it's really nice knowing that, you know, being on the first or second line, you know, your third and fourth line are just as good scoring-wise now, and that's nice. And I think it pushes the first couple lines to go even harder, and I think that's what's going on right now. This is some healthy competition within the room, and I think, you know, you can't really complain about it.
Zach Franco joining us for a couple of minutes. Just tell me about your overall hockey club, and did you envision at the start of the year that you would be where you're at today? The fact that, you know, you're approaching the 20 win plateau, it's pretty decent for, you know, late November.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you look at our roster, and I think we're deep from line one to line four, from D pairing one to goalie two. I think, you know, we're really good, and, you know, this is a big year for us and for me especially, and, you know, for a couple other guys, and for everyone on this team, actually, you know, it's a huge year, and we know it. And, you know, we know in the past couple of years we haven't had the results that we wanted to have, you know, in the playoffs. I know the first year we won a division, but, you know, they don't really look at divisions, they look at championships. And this is, you know, this is a team we feel that we can win a championship with, and I truly believe that we can, and I think, you know, it's starting to show that, you know, we're for real.
And I want to say thanks to Regan for his help in Kelowna, as well thanks to our guests Zach Franco and Corey Russell. That's the show. I'm John Key.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL radio broadcast partners and Easton Hockey, a production of NL Broadcasting Limited, Kamloops, British Columbia.